Maybe I should just have Zach come up here and preach the adult sermon. You think that would work? Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for the sermon today is that gospel reading from Luke chapter 13. Jesus is talking about the narrow door, which doesn't sound all that great. You know, it makes it sound like heaven is this exclusive club and not a lot of people are going to be there. And of course, that's the question that the man has for Jesus toward the beginning of this passage. But of course, we know that because Jesus opened the door for us with his death and his resurrection, there is no limit as to how many people can walk through this narrow door, because the Lord is the one opening it for them. That narrow door is wide open. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, 7 years ago, 2012, right after I was ordained, Katie and I moved down to South Texas, and we instantly felt homeless. Not because of the culture shock of moving from St. Louis to the Rio Grande Valley, where, you know, a lot of people didn't look like us or speak like us. I mean, not really those things. I mean, that might have been part of it, but we actually literally felt homeless. We didn't have a place to stay right away. And the reason for this was a couple months before we moved, there was this big, crazy storm all throughout that area. There was all this widespread hail damage everywhere. And so what was going on at the time, people were living in all of these different rental properties while they had all of their insurance claims processed and while they had their houses repaired and all these things going on. This was pretty much all anybody was talking about for the first year of my ministry down in McAllen. And so by the time Katie and I moved down there, there was absolutely nothing available for us to rent. Really, there wasn't anything that we could find. And so thankfully we got in contact with a company that was building some brand new apartments just about 15, 20 minutes away from the church, and we thought, okay, this will work out because these apartments aren't even built yet, so they'll be ready for us. That'll be great. And we reserved the very first unit right on the corner, Unit A, and we were excited about that. And so we moved down there, and unfortunately, it wasn't ready for us quite yet, so we felt homeless. And thankfully, a couple from the church offered to let us live in their mobile home for a little while, and that worked out just fine. But finally, the day came for us to move into that apartment. That was such a wonderful day. We got to move in there, but instantly, we could tell that this construction project was done a little bit hastily, and there were some corners that were cut, and there were some things that weren't very well designed, and some of it wasn't a big deal. Like, for example, there was absolutely no plan for storage whatsoever. There was no basement, no attic, no shed outside. The only thing we had was these two little tiny closets in the bedrooms. That's it. So we had to basically use the spare bedroom as a storage facility the entire time we lived there. Not a big deal, like I said. I mean, this was the time before kids. We were flexible back then, you know. No problem. The kitchen had a few more issues. There were some drawers, just the way the whole thing was laid out. There were some of them you literally could not get open. It was impossible. There was actually one where, in order to open the drawer, you had to first open the oven door, and then that created enough space to then open up this drawer and get your utensils out. That was kind of annoying. But again, you know, it's all right. I got caught down here. Okay. But the worst was the bathroom in the middle of the apartment, specifically the door. So the door that opened into this bathroom was a full-size standard door, not a problem. But the bathroom was a smaller than average bathroom. And I know that you can't picture it because you weren't there, but I'm going to try to describe this. You would open the door, and when the door would open, it would be flush up against the bathtub. So the problem with that was the toilet was over on this side. So you would open the door, and there was no way to get to the toilet. without closing that door first. Okay, that's fine. But then the sink is over here, and there just wasn't a lot of space. You could not close that door behind you without literally stepping into the bathtub. You had to get into the tub to close the door behind you. And this was the bathroom that guests would use. So it was really embarrassing over and over again. We had to explain to people, yeah, I know you can't get the door closed. You got to step into the bathtub to close the door. How frustrating is that? So, by the way, if I haven't said it lately, we really enjoy living in this well-designed parsonage over here. It is really, really great. I was thinking about that apartment. I was specifically thinking about that door as I was reading through this gospel text. Because Jesus is talking about a narrow door. And in this case, when Jesus is talking about a narrow door, it's in response to a very simple question that I would say most of us have probably asked, maybe just to ourselves every once in a while. Jesus is making his way toward Jerusalem, and somebody asks him from the crowd, Lord, will those who are saved be few? Maybe you've asked that from time to time. Will there just not be that many people in heaven? It's a fair question, especially when you consider the fact that going all the way back to the days of the Old Testament, the people of Israel had kind of had this culture of exclusivity that was handed down from generation to generation, right? It kind of seemed like an exclusive club to be part of the family of Israel. And God's people have always been this relatively small minority compared to the vast sea of people who don't believe in the Lord, right? You couple that with the fact that Jesus, throughout his earthly ministry, is teaching things like, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Right? So you put that all together, and it probably seemed to the person in this crowd who asked Jesus the question, it probably seemed like, boy, not a lot of people are going to get into heaven, will they? That maybe it's only a handful of people who are going to be saved. Because not only do you have to belong to Israel, but you also have to belong to Jesus. Now, you notice that Jesus doesn't directly answer that question here, though. I mean, Jesus isn't interested in giving out numbers and saying, oh, this is the amount of people that are going to be saved, the end. Jesus says in verse 24, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. So I think it's probably pretty important for us to understand why is it that Jesus says that the door to salvation is a narrow door. It really has nothing to do with the amount of people. You know, that the question is about how many people will be saved, but the narrow door isn't about how many people can squeeze through and fit into heaven. Right? Heaven doesn't have this like max capacity limit where once you get past a certain number, nobody else is allowed in. It's not like Katie and me going down to Texas and finding out, you know, there's just no apartments available. Everything's full, right? Heaven's not like that at all. The reason why the door is narrow is because there's only one way in. And of course, that way is faith in Jesus Christ. What a scandalous thing to say. Right? That Jesus is the only way to salvation. What a scandalous thing to say back in the days of Jesus among the Jews who had assumed for years and years up to this point that the doorway to salvation was their Jewishness. In other words, being born into the right family and trying your hardest to obey the laws of Moses. Those were the things that people thought was going to save them. They didn't think that salvation had anything to do with this Jesus guy, right? They thought he was just a fool, that he was trying to manipulate people, make himself someone important, confuse people, and fool them. What a scandalous thing to say even now, that Jesus is the only way to salvation. What a scandalous thing to say in 21st century America, where if you are to teach the truth about God's plan of salvation, that is only through Jesus as the narrow door, that is considered closed-minded at best, hate speech at worst, right? In a day and age like ours, where it just seems like truth is relative, you know, whatever's true for me might not be true for you, but as Christians being called to make a claim that there really is absolute truth and there really is only one way to salvation, in an age like ours where it just seems like, you know, the most valued virtues in the world are things like tolerance of other people's beliefs and opinions and being accepting of all different kinds of diversity, right? To be so rigid as Christians, that just doesn't sound right to people. How hard this would be in an age like ours to say, when the only kind of Christianity that seems to be accepted in the public square is this kind of like pseudo-Christianity that doesn't actually teach what the Bible teaches. It's certainly not about sin, about morality, about hell, even about Jesus himself. And so in a world like ours, it seems like you have this narrow door and it keeps getting narrower and narrower and narrower as time goes on. And Jesus doesn't actually specifically say this in our passage today, but in the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus is talking about the narrow door, he's also, in contrast to that narrow door of salvation, he's mentioning the fact that there is a wide door and there is a broad road that leads to destruction. And again, it has nothing to do with the amount of people who are like on the highway to hell or something like that, but it's about the many different ways that a person can be led astray. So that's just kind of reality, even for people like us. It would be extremely easy for us to land on the wrong path if we were to just live the way that everybody else lives and do and say what everybody else does and says. It'd be very easy for us to end up on a path like that. It's kind of like thinking back to the image of the bathroom door, right? So the bathroom door in that apartment was a wider door, standard size door. It's the door that everybody else uses. It's the door that you would normally see in a home. But this door that was a normal door did not work in that particular space. If the goal is to get to the bathroom, to the toilet on the other side, then this door that you're using, that everybody else uses, is actually in your way. It's actually blocking your path. What would be much better in that circumstance would be a narrower door. And maybe a narrower door would be harder to find, or maybe you'd have to plan for it better, or maybe it would cost a little bit more, or maybe it would have to be custom made, I don't know. But that narrower door could be wide open and you could still get around it to the porcelain throne. And some of you are thinking, did Pastor just compare heaven to a toilet? Maybe, but remember, every analogy breaks down somewhere. Maybe this one breaks down here. But the point is that, yes, while there is a narrow door to get to salvation, and the only narrow door there is faith in Jesus Christ, this narrow door is a door that is wide open. Jesus made sure of that when he died upon the cross, when he paid the price for the sins of the whole world, not just a handful of people, not just the elites, but the Lord actually invites everyone to walk through that narrow door. Jesus himself says this. Toward the end of the passage here in verse 29, it says, people will come from the east, from the west, from the north and south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. What a blessing it is to know that Jesus has opened this door for us so that we're not stuck outside knocking on that door because of our sin. And what a blessing it is to know that the door remains open, not just for you and for me, but for anybody who wants to come and enjoy this heavenly party, this banquet, this wedding feast, the marriage feast of the Lamb, the wedding reception that goes on forever and ever with a guest list that is never ending, right? the door may be narrow, but the banquet hall is infinitely spacious. Until the day when we are called to walk through that door, either the day that we pass away from this earth or the day that Jesus returns to this earth, until that day comes, may we always strive to enter through it. Just like Jesus says in this passage, may we resist any temptation to just do what everybody else is doing and just, you know, use the wide door. Because as we've seen, that door could end up just blocking our path. You don't have to try to save yourself with all of your good efforts. You don't have to try to figure out how to fix your own problem by kind of working around the door, having to step into the bathtub or whatever it is you got to do. You don't have to do any of that because, thanks be to God, you have Jesus, and Jesus has already opened the door for you. He has promised you a heavenly home that is very well thought out, very well designed. It's a perfect dwelling place. Home, sweet, eternal home. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.